So we're getting a little bit of spring weather right now, but not a whole lot. Things are budding out. Some flowers are coming out on the earlier trees, but there's still not a lot to see right now, and it's actually kind of crispy today. So not a lot to photograph. That being said, let's get down to business. And for this particular topic of the podcast, we're going to talk about doing things from a business standpoint, specifically doing photography from a business standpoint. Whatever else you're doing, that's your business. Anyway, there's at least at some point when somebody starts doing something creative and they start getting recognition for it, people say, well, I really like that. People start to consider and say, hey, maybe I can just make some money off of this. Maybe I can sell some of this. Maybe I can make a living. And maybe it doesn't go that far. But there are some common misconceptions about this. And at the very least, if you're going to start doing this, there's some things that you probably should learn to recognize. One thing is that doing this as a business isn't just, oh, I'm good at photography, because running a business is an entirely different thing. And it takes an overall attitude toward things and a lot of background stuff that's in there that sometimes people don't think about. Running a business isn't getting paid to have fun or isn't getting paid to do something that you want to do. You're providing a service to somebody. And I think this is where a lot of artists kind of blow it, because they start doing art and they do the art that they like. And people say, oh, I kind of like that and stuff. And then they go, oh, well, I'm going to become an artist and start getting paid for this. And they find out that they're not really getting paid for it, because it isn't what necessarily they want to do. It's what a client wants. And people often refer to this thing as selling out. Oh, I'm selling out to corporations and stuff. It's like, well, you're selling. That's the point of selling, is that you're providing something to somebody. You're providing something that they want. It's not sell out. It's selling. It's a business. That's how businesses are run. You can do all the kind of, you know, high-end stuff that you want. You can do, high-end isn't the word I want. You can do all the personal stuff that you want. You can do all the statements that you want. But don't expect to get paid for them. These are a personal thing, and maybe somebody agrees with you, and if so, you're lucky, but maybe not. But for doing it as a business, you pretty much have to expect to provide what the client wants. And that doesn't necessarily mean that that's something that you've already been doing. You may be able to apply the skills that you have right now towards it, but that doesn't mean that all of the things that you've taken up to this point are actually going to sell, are actually going to be useful. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. You never know. But don't go into it thinking that, oh, okay, now that I've put myself on the market, now I'm going to get paid for all this stuff I've been doing. No, you've been doing it out of your interest. And as long as your interests coincide with their interests, it might work. But for the most part, recognize you're going to have to meet their interests. That's the point. You provide what the client wants, and you have to be able to communicate with the client and know that is what they want. Now, doing it as a business does not necessarily mean making a living at it, paying all the bills. And in fact, I wouldn't recommend that for photography, or at least not to start off with. Don't quit everything. Don't quit your job and say, I'm going to go into this full throttle, because you probably won't. A lot of people fail doing that kind of jazz. What I would say is go into it slowly, start building it up, start making some money on the side and seeing what you can do with it, and recognize that when it comes to the point where in order to keep making the money you're doing, you're getting stretched too thin, you have to take time away from your regular job, that's maybe the time to start considering that you can do this full time. Now, there isn't a photographer that I have run into that has not done some other kind of photography other than their given chosen field, genre, whatever, that is not supplemented with doing something else like weddings or portraiture or event photography or being stringers or being photojournalists or something like that. And I've done it myself. I've done wedding photography and some portraiture and odds and ends. And you find out pretty quickly when you're doing things like that, that again, you have to abandon what you like to do in order to do something that's actually going to be popular and paid. The artistic standpoint, like for instance, wedding photography, there's a certain amount of it that you can get away with being artistic and creative. But an awful lot of it is people have expectations of particular pictures that they want to get. I want to get these for my album. I want to get this. And a lot of times they're all the same. And you're doing things not quite cookie cutter, not quite everything the same every time, or at least hopefully you're not if you're being creative. But you are going to do a lot of the same kind of shots that you've seen people do and that you're tired of seeing. But that's what happens. You end up doing it. You also have to recognize that being able to deal with clients is a very big thing. And so it's not just how good you are with something, but how much of a business person you are, how much of a self-marketer and self-promoter you are, and how well you can interact with the clients. I've seen an awful lot of people that got very pompous, and they were trying to tell the clients that this is what they wanted, or if you're coming to me, this is what you're going to get. I've never seen that work very well. I think there's some people that say, oh yeah, it works, but I don't think that works very well. I think people get very turned off by that attitude, and I've certainly have had much better success in dealing with people directly and saying, okay, what are you looking for? What can I do? And it doesn't mean being a yes man all the time either. There's times when you're gonna have to tell a client that A, you can't meet that, or B, that this is not possible, or C, just we're not a match, and I can't provide the services that you're looking for, something along those lines. Or, most especially, I cannot provide that service at the price you want to pay. And negotiations, I'm not even going to get into that because that's a very big thing, and it can be very tricky. Again, there's no set rules for this. You will find guidelines that will say, like, for instance, how much photographs should be priced when getting published in a magazine, but they'll give you a broad guideline, and it changes for the type of magazine, and it changes for the type of photograph. So it's really hard, and there's this balance point between sitting there saying, oh, I'm going to miss the sale, and dropping your price so low that it's just not worth it for you to do this, or that you're underselling your stuff. And one thing I can definitely tell you is that if you start off with a client underselling, they're going to expect you to keep underselling. They're not going to look at it as an opening bonus and then go, oh, well, I'll start paying regular price from then on. No, once the prices go up, they're going to resent it. Prices can only go up a very small percentage, and you know, you try and put them up to a regular basis and said, oh, I got this one going to get the business started. You probably just ended your business with that. You just ended your relationship with that client. Definitely some of the skills that you're going to have to pick up when doing it as a business are things like advertising and marketing, record keeping and money management, and the aforementioned client relations. From the record keeping and money management standpoint, I would say definitely take a small business or basic bookkeeping course as a minimum. You know, some kind of a night course or community college course or something along those lines. But learn how to manage your money. Learn how to keep track of it, most especially. When you open up a business, you are open up for audits. You are open up for having to file your taxes in a very specific way. And you want to know how to do this, and you want to keep it clean just to avoid getting audited. But there's a lot of little things that can go wrong. So definitely talking to an accountant is a very good thing. Whether you want to retain the services of an accountant or not, most small businesses don't actually need an accountant. However, getting a start with one and getting a consultation with them to find out what you should be doing, and for instance, having one that goes over your taxes before they're filed, that's not a bad idea. But at the very least, learn basic bookkeeping, learn how to keep track of these things. And make a point of doing this on a regular basis, that there is a time set aside each week where you do your record keeping. And this also includes not just the financial aspect of it, but the aspects of paying the bills, updating your marketing and your advertising, and keeping track of the records of your clients, of the photos that have gone out, things along those lines. Every week, make it a point to be doing this. You have to have a time set aside that you're doing it, and that time is allotted for it. Whether it changes every week or not, that's fine, but it has to be there. It's just a good habit. Marketing and advertising is one of those really tricky things, and I'm not going to say that I am or ever was particularly successful at this. The thing is that it's not a science. There's not a fixed way of doing it. And you can talk to people and they'll say, oh, here's what worked for me, or here's what I got started with, and they'll tell you that this is the way to do it. And that was the way that worked for them. That's not necessarily the way that's going to work for you in your particular geographic area, or your demographic of clients, or your personality, or your style of photographs, or anything like that. It's good to get ideas, but chances are you're probably going to have to play around a little bit to see what's going to work. Absolutely anymore, you have to have some kind of a web presence. Now, I have definitely stayed away from the idea of social media and marketing through social media. I think in some particular cases, this works. My experience has been that it's almost total nonsense, that you're not reaching out to people with this, that you don't gain clients from this. most especially photography, people come to you when there's a need. They don't see any reason to follow you or friend you on Facebook or something like that on the idea that, oh, you're going to be providing pictures to them every week or every month or something along those lines. It just doesn't really happen that way. You can generate some interest in yourself as a artist or anything like that, and maybe you can keep people on the line. But for actually getting clients and for establishing, even just getting established or anything like that, no, it probably doesn't do anything. But a website is necessary. And a website is no small thing to do. The one that you are seeing, or that you can see if you click on the links for the main site, is one that I made up myself and changed a little bit over the years. But for the most part, it's the same format that I picked. It is way away from what is considered the popular format or the style or anything like that. And I personally do not give a fuck. The big thing, when I started, they said, here's what you have to do for a photography website. And a few people are still doing that, but most of them have changed away from it. I didn't like the idea. I didn't get into this, and I did my own. And my style is to throw a picture and throw up a little bit of trivia or interest about it. So there's a little narrative that goes with the photograph. I have gotten nothing but compliments. I have not had anybody come back to me and say that they didn't like the site. Now, would they have? Were there plenty of people that do not like the site? They're just going to go away without saying anything? Sure, it's possible. But for the most part, I have gotten a pretty good response from this because people found that it was more personable to them. I avoid the artistic aspect that you will see all the time if you go to an artist's website, and you will see this, or at least if you go to a large number. Not every artist is like this. But you will find that there is a lot of it where there's a piece of art, and then there's this very existential, spiritual, deeply philosophical statement of some kind or another. I personally find that bullshit. I tend to look at this and see through that kind of stuff and say, this is just kind of being emotionally manipulative or just trying to spark a reaction from people. However, it does spark a reaction from certain kinds of people. And if you want to do that, if you can get that going and that means sales, fine. That's fine. Go ahead. Sell out that way. No, if that works, that works. It's not something that I was ever comfortable with doing, and it was not some, and again, I just look at it as if it's bullshit, and I really just don't bullshit people that much. That much. But for having something in there and having something, you do have to spark a reaction from somebody, some kind of a, you know, an emotional or a personable or visceral or philosophical reaction from somebody one way or another is how you actually get in clients. Now, if you're talking about professional clients like magazines and such, pretty much what you have to have is what they're looking for. And they look more for what we'll call professionalism, because it's such a goofy word that doesn't really have a good definition. But they're looking more for somebody that can provide exactly what they're looking for quickly and without fuss and at a price they're willing to pay. Boom, 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 boom. And if you can't do that, you know, they're not very interested in it. They don't really care about your philosophical statement. Your advertising is going to depend on where you're going in a lot of different circumstances, and I can tell you that advertising itself, and I think I said this, is largely bullshit. The studies that have been done on advertising are, they'll pick up trends, and they'll pick up little ideas and what people kind of like, and then most times they misinterpret these badly. And you will no doubt have gone to some kind of place or called some kind of place, and they have a script that the people are required, that the workers there are required to do. And these are based on a study that said, oh, people really like it if they're greeted in a personable way. And so they go, well, here, you're going to greet them in this personable way. But personable is not following a script. And you see this, and you recognize this, and you know when somebody's being told they have to say this. And it's, to me, it's a turnoff. And I imagine it is to an awful lot of people, especially when I've seen the reactions from them. So understanding what marketing is and how it works and what it's going to do for you is a little bit of a tricky thing. And I'm not going to get into that too deeply. Most especially, I will say, keep track of everything that you're doing. Start cataloging everything. Keep track of your expenses. And most especially, learn data management. Data management is not a particularly hard thing, but the primary thing behind it is that it allows you to put your hands on the information that you need quickly. And in my particular case, just to give you an idea, when I'm cataloging photos, which I am way behind on, so don't, yeah, do as I say, not as I do, whatever. But anyway, one of the things that I track a bunch of different things, and I have it in a, it's basically a spreadsheet, but it can be treated as a database. They are almost exactly the same thing. The primary thing about a database is generally it is in a structure where you can manipulate the fields easier and search through particular fields and find things better. However, most spreadsheet programs will let you do this as well. Of course, you know, you can go with the Microsoft products, which are ridiculously overpriced, and they keep updating them every couple of years, mostly to draw customers from the big clients that now have to retrain all of their staff to do the new version. I personally use OpenOffice. It is an open source freeware package, which pretty much does everything that Microsoft Office will do, can even save things in the same format, but it's free and it does everything you need it to do, or everything, almost everything I think that your demands would ever require. The primary thing about it is keeping track of the information that you're going to need. And for instance, mine will have the common name as well as the scientific name, or the Latin name if you prefer, because they maybe have to search on either one of those. There's broad categories such as birds and mammals and things. And then there are details about like where the photo was taken and when. In some cases, I'll actually have things. I'll have like horizontal or vertical format. This will actually make a difference to magazines who are looking for covers or they're looking for something to fit in the column space. So I can easily narrow it down and go, well, this is a vertical. I don't want to pin myself down to that because a lot of times a horizontal photo can be cropped vertically, but it's just its initial information. I also sometimes have base color in there. If the picture has a particularly strong color or a main color throughout it, a lot of times I will put that in because it helps me find things for an artistic purpose or an accent purpose and say, you know something, I need a splash of blue here. I need some really deep blue so I can pull up all my blue photos and just look through them and go, oh, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. And I'm not pulling up the photos themselves, I'm just pulling up a list, and then I can go through and pull up those particular things based on the identifying number, which is usually the number produced by the camera. I have found that the standard numbers produced by the camera, the little four-digit ones, are inadequate, and I automatically upgrade all of mine to 5 digits. That means that everything that I download gets renamed to add that particular digit. And of course, you know, it starts off with a 0 on the front, and then I add a 1 when I hit the 9,999 mark. What? You've taken that many photos? Oh, yeah. I've taken, I don't even want to know how many pictures that I've taken, but it definitely is I would say it's definitely over 200,000 and is probably much higher than that. Kept them? No. Threw out a lot of stuff. And that's another thing about a business is recognizing that you're competing. And your competition means that you're going to have to be very demanding on the quality and the style of your photographs and the sharpness and all this. And this does mean that as you do it as a business, you're probably going to be spending a bit more money on equipment, at the very least getting some nicer lenses. Also, and this is a very big thing to recognize, if you are doing a gig for somebody, and again, this is like if we're doing a wedding shoot or something like that, you had best have backup equipment, most especially if you are under contract. If you blow it because your camera body dies or you break your lens or you forget your lens or something, well, don't forget anything. Pack your stuff before you go on a gig just to be sure and charge all your batteries and all this. Good habits. Good habits. Make a checklist. But if you blow the photos because you did not have a camera that was handy for it, you can get sued. You at the very least are going to lose that. And word of mouth can get around very quickly. I did work with a wedding photographer that was shooting video and had backed into a fountain and had fallen into a fountain. And I talked to, I don't know how many different people in this little area that knew this story. These things get around. Of course, the bad stories get around. The good stories don't get around half as fast as we ever want them to. The word of mouth of great clients and all this, you've really got to knock a client down for them to sit there and start going, oh, yeah, you should go to Al Debelstek, Black Jagelbebe. Yeah, that's why I market under waiting in photography. You understand now. Or you should go to him. He's really cool. He's really personal. You know, the word does get around, but believe me, the bad stories get around a lot faster, and you want to try and avoid those. And you definitely want to be ready to do the gig so you have backup equipment. You have the ability to cover things. There's still going to be circumstances where you're going to not be able to meet the client's needs. And the way that you handle that is just as important as the pictures that you're taking. Being able to tell a client, oh, listen, here's, I couldn't do this for you for one reason or another. Here's what I can do for you. Here's how to make it up for you. You know, being very positive and upbeat. But definitely what I want people to do is to think about it before they jump into it and start thinking about it in terms of being a business and doing business with people and doing it as a business. Most especially that there are times people can really get burnt out on the idea that they started doing something that they liked and then they started doing it as a business to get paid for it. And the fun went out of it because now it was a demand. Now there is pressure to perform and to produce. And now there are changes that have to be done in order to meet a client's needs. And it ends up turning a lot of people off of it. And I encourage people before they get the business started to start thinking about this and to recognize it's going to take a lot of hustle. It's going to take a lot of your time. And to think about it and say, this is what I want to do with it, or this is not what I want to do with my photography. And just keep it as a sideline. Keep it as a little bit of sidelight income, or keep it as a hobby, or keep it just as an interest and artistic thing. And then when you're dead, you get all the attention for it, but none of the money. Anyway, that's a start. Think about that. Work from there. I'll be back with some proper content, hopefully, pretty soon.